kid who liked to and literally he could pick him up, put him down. Get enough oomph going.
For sure.
Yeah. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I will note that there are a couple of changes to what you were reading in your bulletins. I am actually retired from the Border Patrol now, retired supervisory Border Patrol agent as of 2 years ago. And so nowadays I'm mostly a chaplain, law enforcement chaplain, for the Secret Service, and I help out with the Border Patrol as I can, as I am retired. And I actually serve at the Baptist Church as a licensed law enforcement chaplain nowadays instead of the Episcopal Church. And if you want more information on that, you can talk to me off the cuff when we're done. But that's enough on that. So we will start with our opening hymn. I know you guys know this tune, so you can help me. Yeah. You guys all found it? Okay. All right. Who wants to
church in the valley, the wild wood, no lovelier spot in the dale, no place so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wild wood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the wild wood, to the trees where the wild flowers bloom, where the parting hymn will be chanted, we will weep by the side of the tomb. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wild wood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. How sweet on a clear Sunday morning to listen to a clear ringing bell. Its tones so sweetly are called.
Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. So what would you like to sing today? Yes?
Number 2, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Number 2?
Verses 1 and 4.
1 and 4. All right.
Oh, 2.
2. Yeah, no more numbers, just 2. Okay, has everybody got it?
Breathe on me, breath of God.
first and last.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul
to throw in 468 at this point. And 1 and 4 is fine. All right, you ready? There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in his justice, which is more than liberty. If our love were but more simple, we should take him at his word, and our lives would be all sunshine in the sweetness of our Lord. I'm singing my tune. Okay. Anybody else?
I'd like 278, please open my eyes.
278.
And I would like to do all of the verses.
Okay. As I find it. Okay.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpse of the truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall last and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, I will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the warm truth everywhere.
Okay.
I'd like one.
One more. Okay.
In the garden.
And what page is in the garden?
We haven't missed that one.
We haven't missed that one Sunday yet.
So okay.
It's 428.
428. Huh?
At least I think that's what happened.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
And all three verses. All three verses.
Okay.
I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever.
Do we have any prayer requests for today? I'd say start with praises and work our way from there. Yes?
I'm praising God for this beautiful weather. Amen.
Okay. Anything else? Yes?
First, I'd like to pray for all the older members who have loved this church, who have gone on to the greater life, and those who may not be able to be with us today but wish they were. All the older folks that have a little more trouble getting around. I have a little trouble myself, so I understand it better.
other choice?
This is a prayer request for one of our trustees who we actually prayed for earlier this summer. Mm-hmm. She was in a car accident and had been recovering, but she was hospitalized briefly day before yesterday. She ended up having a brain bleed, which was not detected mm-hmm. at the time of the accident. So this is for Claudia.
We are on concerns, it sounds like. So what else do we have? I'll throw out a couple for my family. They all seem to be either running issues with allergies or colds, and nobody's really sure which, other than we know that it's not anything else. So we have a lot of hacking going on around the house, and we're doing our best to recover from it. So for anybody else who's having fun with the allergies this year, it's been a difficult year. Are there any other concerns? Yes, Rufus.
For those who may have known Reverend John Mitchell, the rector of St. Luke's in Farmington for many years, went over to church in Manchester, Vermont, and signed for his. He just retired this year, and he suddenly came down with cancer in his lungs. One of his lungs is no longer working. He's in a hospice situation. A wonderful man, and pray for him. And another rector of mine, Larry Gibson, who died recently, he was rector of St. Martin's Church in Houston, Texas.
Do you know, was it just old age? Or?
Sorry?
Was it just old age, Rufus?
Well,
were there any complications?
I think he was getting up there, but I think he, I don't want to guess, but.
Yeah, I understand.
He was getting up there. He had heart problems, which is why he resigned as rector.
Right. Is there anything else? Yes?
Send prayers again for my sister Grace, who's in Florida with her disabled son, who's paralyzed now from the neck down.
Okay. All right. Yes.
One more. I'm so sorry.
No, that's why we're here.
Where we live here, I think it's almost like a little enclave. We're very provincial, and so we may not just think a whole lot about earthquakes in Haiti and fires on the West Coast and people in Afghanistan. You know, I think we choose to look at that stuff, we do, but I think I tend to kind of not pay that much attention to the news. So when I hear these things, I just feel, I just think we should try to remember that there are people beyond our beautiful little area here.
Yes.
And they pray for the folks here in the middle of winter.
Yes.
Nothing compared with some of these people.
Oh, man.
Also, to give praise for what we do have here, that's we are fortunate.
Yes, we are. Okay. Is there anything else? All right. I know where I am here. Let us be in prayer. Father, we thank you for the joy that we experience at all the blessings that you have given us. The beautiful weather, the other things that we take for granted here. We thank you for all of those people who have gone before us or who aren't here. And we pray for all of the younger people that we have in our lives who are connected to us in one way or the other. And for their lives as they start moving forward, that you might bless and care for them. Help us, Lord, to never be forgetful of the salvation that you have given us. And that we might be at peace in that. and not strain so much for all the other things of this world that do not satisfy. We bring to your feet today, Lord, all the people in our lives and that we care for that are in need. For Claudia, and as she is in the hospital and dealing with recovering from this car accident, Lord, we pray that you would heal her and work with her doctors and give them steady hands to help her. We pray for those suffering from the season who, even though it's a blessing, it can sometimes bring us down. We pray for John Mitchell and his cancer, and that you would be with him in these closing hours, Lord, and that you would be glorified through him in whatever way that may be, Lord. But I pray that you would give him peace and you would give him your presence. We pray for Larry Gibson and his family, that you would be with them in their grief, all of those who knew him. And we pray for Grace and her son. We know, Lord, that our physical bodies, as much of a blessing as they are, they're not everything. We have a soul and we have a mind. We pray that you would work with him and be with him and lift him up. And give him joy even in this issue that he has. And we bring before you the world, Lord. You know the problems that are existing right now. The earthquakes in Haiti, the troubles in Afghanistan, the fires in the western United States, earthquakes in Alaska, or I should say volcanoes in Alaska, and all the other things that are going on in this world. We bring all of these to you. And we trust in you, Lord, because we know that you are in control. And we know that we can be at peace knowing that. We ask all of this in your precious name. And we finish out by praying the prayer that you gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. All right. The offering is in the back when you come in. If you've given, great. If you have it and you're going to later, great. But let us sing a praise to all we've been given. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him. All creatures here below, praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Okay. Please excuse me if my voice gets a little quirky. My husband would be elated. I've lost my voice twice today. But today's reading is Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34.
Please stand as you are able.
Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God.
The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Exodus 15:3. Recently, I was wearing one of my many t-shirts. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm frequently seen wearing a t-shirt with some sort of logo on it. And my friend Scott noticed it, and he asked me about it. Now, on the front of the t-shirt, I brought it with me, is a large shield with the face of a lion. And you see that there is a sword down behind the face. And on either side, it says, seek battle. On the back side is a quote from President Theodore Roosevelt. I'm sure most of you will recognize the quote when I read it out to you. So let me put that right there. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. As Exodus 15:3 indicates, our God is a warrior. He does not shrink back from confrontation, but instead seeks out challenges, confronts difficulty, seeks battle. I believe that this is what we as followers of Jesus are called to do. So, believers should be prepared to confront. The Bible is filled with accounts of God's people facing down enemies and striving to accomplish the will of God. Hebrews 11 tells us, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell about Gideon, or Barak, or Samson, or Jephthah, or David, or Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, accomplished justice, obtained what was promised, shut the mouths of lions, extinguished the effectiveness of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong in weakness, became mighty in battle, put to flight enemy battle lines. In 2 Timothy, Paul relates that for God has not given us a spirit of cowardice, but of power and love and self-discipline. Throughout the Bible, God encourages his people to stand courageous and trust that if they will just confront what they fear, God will be with them, that he will do battle for them, that he will give them the power to be courageous in the face of death and danger. You don't even have to have courage to begin. Gideon certainly didn't. He had to have God's assurance that God was who he said he was. Now, after that, God walked him through what was needed step by step. But it was God who encouraged Gideon and gave Gideon the power. David seemed to have the courage, right? But he trusted God to lead the way and to show him what he needed to do. In the face of Goliath, David knew that he did not have the skills or the strength to defeat the mighty warrior. But God did. God used skills that David had honed as a shepherd. And he gave him the power to stand before Goliath with a sling and a handful of stones. Peter knew that if the Lord called him out of the boat, he would give Peter the ability to walk on water. Peter simply had to trust and face his fear. It may even take us a few attempts, and we may fail at first. Samson thought he had all the answers until his enemies used someone close to him to bring him down. In his final moment, Samson discovered that it was through his weakness, his blindness, that God would do his best work. And it was through persistent striving that God builds us up brick by brick. It is also only through confrontation that you will defeat the obstacles and opponents facing you. You can run away from your problems, certainly, but they're not going to go away. And they will keep coming back again and again. You have to confront your problems as many times as necessary in order to overcome them and to learn from them. Which brings us to my second point. We are called to be persistent. Stubborn, if you may. Consider it all joy, my brothers, whenever you encounter various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. James 1, 2 through 4. And what, you may ask, is that perfect effect? Paul tells us, because we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also boast in our afflictions, because we know that affliction produces patient endurance, and patient endurance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Romans 5. Not every confrontation will be won in a single battle. We may have to face difficulty or fear or enemies again and again and maybe again. There will be times when we may wonder if we will ever overcome and win the battle. When my dad was little, maybe 12 years old, maybe younger than that, there was a bully that chose my dad as his next victim. He had no idea what he was getting himself into. You see, my dad took persistence to a completely other level. The first encounter, the bully beat my dad up and thought that he had beaten down just another victim. What he did not understand was that what he had really done was woken a tiger. Every day after that, for at least a week, my dad would jump the bully after school. Every time he would get beaten up. But the next day, he would be back. This went on until the bully had had enough and begged my dad to leave him alone. Sometimes persistence simply overcomes the enemy's endurance. I am sure you remember the parables of the persistent neighbor. Shows up at midnight. Would you please give me some bread for my friend who has just shown up, right? Or the woman who goes to the judge and pesters him until he gives her justice. Persistence works in us to build character, but it can also wear down the obstacles facing us. I seem to have learned persistence from my father. It took me 6 years to work my way through seminary and 16 years to gain my black belt in jiu-jitsu. But I have also learned that persistence by itself is not enough. You have to listen to God and learn what he teaches you in the attempts. Sometimes the lesson is that you need to try another way, or perhaps quit something altogether that you were not meant to be doing in the first place. My senior year in high school, I finished high enough in season play as a wrestler to go to the regional wrestling tournament. Placing in the top three would have allowed me to go to the state championships. The problem was that I began that tournament sick and injured and below weight. During the regular season, I could defeat most of my opponents, but here I was going to need all the help I could get. I had beaten my first opponent earlier in the year, but in the match at the tournament, I could not turn him over to get enough points to beat him. My coach told me to let him up, which would have given my opponent a point, but then I could take him back down again and at least tie the match and put us into overtime. Did I listen to my coach? No. I was stubborn. And because I was stubborn and would not let him up, I lost the match. And that match would have allowed me to go straight to the finals. So instead, I had two more matches after this. And my injury and my sickness weren't getting any better. I beat my next opponent, but I didn't have enough to make it through the rest of the tournament. And by the time I got to that last match, I lost on points. I just didn't have anything left. You see, I had the persistence, but I failed to allow it to act on my character, which combined with a passion to win might have brought me victory had I simply listened to the coach. Which brings us to our third point. We are called to be passionate. Revelation 3 tells us, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were cold or hot. Thus, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I am about to vomit you out of my mouth. That shows you what God thinks of us being either one or the other, but we tend to be in the middle, right? He doesn't like that. God desires us to be passionate in our pursuit of his love and his will. Too often we may do what God asks of us, but we do it out of duty or obligation, not out of any real love for God or his kingdom. There is no enthusiasm in our actions for God. Recently, I had the opportunity to hear best-selling author Karen Kingsbury speak about her pursuit of God, her husband, writing, and life in general. She spoke with candor about her failings and her successes, but she did all of this with this passion, giving all of us listening her list of the five things that she had learned about God and life. Now, I call this the short list, the passion and presence. The first is to love well. Who in your life do you need to love better? The second is to laugh often. How often do we find ourselves getting down and depressed and not really seeing the humor in life? The third was to look for the miraculous. Are you wandering around with your eyes open and your ears open, looking for the miraculous? It happens all the time. Maybe it's simply the butterfly flying by today. The fourth was to live on mission. We're called by Christ to proclaim his mission, to proclaim his gospel. Do we remain on point for that? Or do we get muddled up in life and forget? And the last was, be aware of the lasts. There's going to come a point in your life, I'm sure, looking around at the people in these pews, all of you have had a moment in your life when you experienced something that will never happen again. Somebody who's left your life. Somebody who has entered your life. Something that has happened that will never happen again. We have all experienced that. Are we aware of that when it happens? Or do we only find out about it later on when it's too late to truly take it in and rejoice in it or ponder it? And all of these bring me to my last point, which is we are called by God to be present. And that brings us back to our reading today. Are we present? Or are we anxious about things? Are we worrying about tomorrow? Too many of us spend our days worrying about what we think we need, or what everyone thinks of us, or what may happen tomorrow. I know this is true of me. For too many years of my life, I spent my time looking for the next great thing. I would accomplish a goal only to start looking for the next goal. I didn't take time to celebrate what I had accomplished or to truly engage the people in my life or to simply look around and enjoy what God had done for me. So while I was listening to Karen Kingsbury in Hawaii, a friend from high school was breathing her last in a hospital in Oregon. 2 weeks later, I attended her celebration of life, and I realized that even in her last days, my friend Brenda had demonstrated Kingsbury's rules for life, as it were. Brenda's 57 years of life were full of purpose and love and passion. She was married for 35 years, had 3 children of her own, fostered 23 other children, co-owned a business with her husband, Jerry, and still found time to be fully engaged in her community. She had loved well. She had laughed often. She was always looking for the miraculous. In her last days, she still had the hope that something will change, that we will come through. And she lived on mission. When her pastor came to visit her in her last week of life to encourage her, what did she do? She took that moment to encourage her pastor. And then she spelled out the details of the celebration of her life that she knew would be coming. You see, she loved Jesus. And she wanted her celebration to be about declaring the gospel of Christ. And it was. I have been to few funerals in this life, few celebrations of life that truly were a celebration of life, where the people were laughing as hard as they were crying. It was one of those moments. You see, she was aware of her last, and she lived all the way to the last moment being aware that that was what was coming. So I ask you, what would you be thinking about in your last moments? Would you be thinking about yourself? Or would you be thinking about others around you? What does all this mean for us? We all want to be strong in that moment when we come face to face with adversity, but few of us have taken the time to actually prepare ourselves for that moment. There are so many things we do each day that we take for granted that actually took time and effort to learn how to do. I'm sure everyone in this room went to school to learn how to read. How many years did that take? Or you were taught how to drive. How long did that take to figure out how to drive a car? If you're like me, I learned how to drive a manual. It took me quite a while to figure that out. If you play an instrument or you're involved in a sport, it took time to learn how to do that. Simply walking your first steps took practice and many, many, many failed attempts. Why do we think that we will be able to face and confront adversity and overcome it if we have never trained for it and we have never bothered to read the training manual? The world is not getting any easier. We brought that up this morning. If the prophets and the Bible and science are any indication, it's only going to get worse. If we would confront adversity of this life, we will need to train and we will need to seek battle. Paul uses the metaphor of boxing or of the Roman soldier to describe how we are called to prepare for battle. We need to remember our battle is a spiritual one. Paul in Ephesians says, finally, become strong in the Lord and in the might of his strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the stratagems of the devil. Because our struggle is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Because of this, take up the full armor of God in order that you may be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand. Now, I like Paul's metaphor here. But for me, I see everything in light of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Like I said, I had 16 years of training to become a black belt. So much of what I understand about spiritual battle, I have learned on the mat struggling against opponents. My ability to defend myself has been learned moment by moment by moment against hundreds of opponents through years of confrontation. All of my skill and techniques were gained by first getting on the mat and confronting another human being. When I first started, I lost every encounter, but through persistence and listening to my teachers, I slowly began to overcome. As I overcame, I gained passion, and the passion pushed me to keep coming back even when I failed. The degree to which I was present in each moment, in each encounter, determined how well I learned from those encounters. Jiu-Jitsu is about seeking battle against one opponent at a time in order to learn as much about ourselves and unarmed combat as we can. Not so we can earn a belt, a worthy goal, yes, but as a lifelong journey to self-knowledge and discipline which never ends. As useful as Jiu-Jitsu is, it's simply a worldly martial art that teaches me how to defend myself, as much as it's taught me spiritually. However, the points I take from it, confrontation, persistence, passion, being present in the moment, all apply to the spiritual life that we seek. Jesus came to earth to die on the cross, and he is calling us to proclaim the message of his victory and to claim his resurrection power to bring us new life and to join in his redemption of this world and everything and everyone in it. Now, all of that can only begin when we choose to confront ourselves and to trust in Jesus. In that moment, we can take those four points. We can confront ourselves. We can be persistent. We can have passion. And if we're present in every moment, well then, that is the battle that we have been called to engage in this life. So I would ask you, are you ready to join the battle? Are you ready to seek battle in every moment of your life that you might be ready to answer Jesus' call? Amen. And our closing hymn is 358. there's only three verses. I think we can muddle our way through. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up, stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor and watching unto prayer, where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
And also with you.
Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And what was that? I believe the book opened where I left it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.